It's time to get your news on. We are VK1WIA.
And it is the national news from the WIA for week commencing September 29, 2024. This week, WIA's Grant Willis, VK5GR, on both the Oceania DX contest when he joins Felix and as chairman of the TAC, the Technical Advisory Committee, the latest on the 40-metre band plan proposal. WIA Director Lee Moyle, VK3GK. WIA's Editor-in-Chief of AR Magazine, VK2ZRH, Roger Harrison, and WIA Past President Justin, VK7 Tangled Whiskers, updates us on Tassie Ham Conference. Now wait, there is much, much more in this edition of news from your Wireless Institute of Australia. I'm Editor Graham, VK4BB.
This news originates from the Wireless Institute of Australia. Born to lead since 1910.
This is WIA Director Lee Moyle, VK3GK. At the recent Radio Amateur Old Timers Club, RAOTC AGM luncheon held last week at the Caulfield RSL in Melbourne, both Robert Broomhead, VK3DN, and Peter Young, VK3MV, were officially presented with their WIA Honorary Life Memberships by WIA President Scott Williams, VK3KJ. Scott spoke about both Peter and Robert's long-time volunteer commitment and contributions to the WIA and amateur radio in general. The meeting was well attended. In fact, a full house of around 50 or so RAOTC members participated. WIA board members present included Peter Clee, VK8ZZ, and myself. Last month, while attending the Tokyo Ham Fair in Japan, the WIA was well represented as I met with JARL President and Secretary, MART's President, KARARL President, IARU Secretary, and representatives from the Radio Amateur Society of Thailand and PARA. General discussions consisted typically on membership, youth involvement, harmonisation of the 40-metre band plan and the upcoming IARU Region 3 conference being held in Thailand early November this year. The WIA is represented by Peter Young, VK3MV, who volunteered his time to be our delegate. Earlier this week, saw PubCom release the latest edition of AR Magazine. This edition focuses on being a DIY special and includes articles on the construction of a balanced line ATU for HF, a 241 GHz transceiver, an Arduino project for your ICOM rig, and an article on auroral propagation experiments using digital modes, plus the usual editorials and regular columns. Don't forget that the Oceania DX contest is on in October. This is the 79th year it has been running, and the WIA and NZART co-sponsor the event. The phone section is on Saturday the 6th of October starting at 0600 UTC, and the following weekend of the 13th is the CW section again starting at 0600 UTC. Both go for 24 hours with many certificates and plaques available to section winners. This is a great contest to enter for both newcomers and the experienced contester, as the world is looking for VKZL and Oceania stations. A great way to increase your DX tally. You could easily achieve DXCC in a weekend and then apply for one of the many WIA awards available free to WIA members. Please check out the OCDX contest rules, available awards and plaques sponsors at www.oceanadxcontest.com for further information. That's all for this week. For now, 7-3 from Lee, VK3GK.
This is Grant, VK5GR, on behalf of the Wireless Institute of Australia's Technical Advisory Committee. I'd like to talk to you about the work that's underway evaluating the 40-metre band plan and looking at ways to improve its harmonisation across the world. One of the major projects being undertaken this year is to explore the potential to improve the harmonisation of the 40-metre band, initially within Region 3, but ideally also on a global basis. To start this work, the WIA released a consultation paper reviewing the current state of the world and setting forth the case for change. We also considered ways that could be used to determine empirically how the spectrum should be divided on a fair basis and what various solutions might look like. It's fair to say that this has generated a substantial amount of discussion and feedback from the amateur radio community, which is good to see. It is also important to make it clear that this is just the beginning of what will be a lengthy process, given that for any change to be accepted, it is necessary to build consensus and agreement on the best way forward. The first round consultation closed on September the 6th, and we received well over 100 submissions from individuals and clubs from around the world. The feedback has now been analysed, and a summary of our initial findings is now available on the WIA website. What's more, given the information provided to us by the community, the WIA is clear that there was not a lot of support for many of the original proposals raised for discussion. As a result, we're now working on a new paper, considering the views and information that have been received. It is intended to have this new paper completed shortly and make it in time for circulation prior to the IARU Region 3 conference, which will be held in November. We'll be inviting the amateur community to again provide us with feedback on the Round 2 paper once it's released. We'll let you know when it's ready, which will hopefully be very soon. That's all from me this week. Good morning all from Grant, VK5GR.
Okay, Deuce. This is Editor-in-Chief of Amateur Radio Magazine, Roger Harrison, VK2ZRH. Undoubtedly, some lucky members have already begun dipping into Issue 5, having received their hard copy late this past week. Other members have been dipping into their electronic issue, which was posted to the WIA webpage on Wednesday last. Thank you, Robert Broomhead, VK3DN. This one's a do-it-yourself special issue. Too often we read or hear that hams don't build stuff anymore. Or worse, detractors claim that we publish stuff, quote, nobody's ever going to build, end quote. Well, that nobody would be them, as they circulate that meme via their black box PC or transceiver. To each their own. If your fingers itch or twitch to pick up side cutters or a soldering iron sitting idle, this issue is one for you. Aside from the projects I listed lastly, the 241 gig rig, the balanced antenna matcher, and the ICOM rig commander, the indefatigable Lou DiStefano VK3AQZ completes his series of innovative transceiver test sets. A good joint might be hard to find, warns Jim Tregellis, VK5JST, who explains a few hard and soft truths about soldering. The flock of aurora this past year has led to experiments being conducted in auroral scatter propagation and related sporadic E-events on the 2-metre band, led by Rex Monker, VK7MO. Using digital modes, Rex and his team have made measurements and drawn some interesting conclusions about identifying different propagation modes. Hams still do stuff at the forefront of radio technology and techniques. Who remembers the old days when television interference, aka TVI, was something to worry about when you put your station to air? Well, TVI can return these days on the National Broadband Network. Lax maintenance of the hybrid fibre coax network that was established across urban and suburban areas of our cities and towns 20 to 30 years ago can lead to interference from your on-air operations. The good news is NBN TVI can be resolved. As usual, there's much, much, much more in this issue, number 5 for 2024. Indeed, it is so packed with such sparkling content that the publication committee recommends you wear safety glasses to read it. You'll recognise it easily when it lands in your mailbox or at your newsagent. There's a naked man on the front cover. Well, a photo of a statue of a naked man. It's Mercury, the Roman messenger of the gods. Amateur Radio Magazine Issue 5, More Guts, Less Gab. Proudly produced and printed in Australia. Always published to a schedule, never random. I'm Roger Harrison, VK2ZRH, for VK1WIA News.
From here, there and everywhere, You've tuned to the Wireless Institute of Australia's National News Service. We are VK1WIA. Now with international news, Jason, VK2LAW.
Hello. Leading international news this week from the United States. US law enforcement has disrupted a second major Chinese hacking group nicknamed Flax Tycoon and wrested thousands of compromised devices from its grasp, FBI Director Christopher Reyes said. Flax Typhoon was being run by a Chinese company called the Integrity Technology Group that posed as an IT firm but also collected intelligence and performed reconnaissance for Chinese government security agencies. In an advisory also made public last week, British, Canadian, Australian and New Zealand cyber officials also accused Integrity Technology Group of being behind the malicious cyber operation and said that as of June, it had compromised more than 250,000 devices around the world. A previously known hacking group dubbed Vault Typhoon has been the subject of increasing concern by Western officials since it was first identified last year as cyber sabotage group focusing on establishing a foothold in critical US infrastructure. US officials have said it's a China-backed group, while Beijing have said it's a ransomware gang. When the FBI tried to take control of the botnet's infrastructure, the hackers responded with a cyber attack before abandoning the fight. The National Association for Amateur Radio, ARRL, has announced a partnership with Groupa, the national leader in activity benefit administration. This collaboration aims to enhance the health of ARRL members by providing access to benefits that support staying active and engaged. Groupa connects its members to benefits that cover costs associated with group activities. By joining Groupa and staying connected through amateur radio, ARRL members who are 65 plus and have participating Medicare Advantage or Medicare Supplement plans can unlock the activity benefit offered by these plans and receive a check in the mail to support their membership dues. Radio Club of America announces 2024 award recipient. Radio Club of America, RCA, recognizes leaders and major contributors to the field of wireless communications. This year, several hams received awards, and this particular one today is Whiskey Alpha 3 Foxtrot Echo Tango. Dr. James Brakel, WA3FET, has received the Dr. Ulrich L. Rode Award for Innovation in Applied Radio Science and Engineering. Dr. Brakel began his career as a graduate student at the Arecibo Observatory in Puerto Rico, working on antenna analysis and radar probing of the ionosphere. At LLNL, he and his group worked on the development of the Numerical Electromagnetics Code, NEC, the first sophisticated antenna modeling program. Other significant projects that he's worked on were the designs of the HARP facility in Alaska, both HF facilities at Arecibo, and the Kinstar low-profile AM broadcast antenna. Dr. Brakel, electrical, and Tim Duffy, mechanical, designed the very popular ham radio Skyhawk Yagi antenna, and Dr. Brakel, WA3FET, is the inventor of the optimized wideband antenna, OWA. West Bengal Radio Club, do it again. A sexagenarian who was sold by his father and stepmother in Delhi 52 years ago has finally found his younger brother, thanks to the ham radio operators of the West Bengal Radio Club. The person was identified through cut marks in his back, inflicted by his father with a sickle when he was only 8. His father had given him 2 consecutive blows in his back that resulted in deep cut injuries. After another 2 years of being unable to bear with the naughtiness of their child, they allegedly sold him in Delhi. Presently, the sexagenarian is lodged at a state-run home. The home authorities had asked the West Bengal Radio Club, the organisation of ham radio enthusiasts in the state, to locate his home. His residence was located and his younger brother was contacted. The younger brother refused to take him back, with so many years having passed.
the ham radio operators contacted the district magistrate and sought his intervention. Finally, the younger brother has agreed to take his elder brother back home. The district administration has assured of taking measures so that the elder brother gets share of his deceased father's property. For VK1 WIA National News, in Sydney, I'm Jason, VK2LAW.
We are VK1 WIA. Now, operational news with VK4 FUQ, Felix.
Hello there. Now, Qantas Wise 2024. This weekend on Now. The CQLYDX Ready Qantas concludes 23:59 hours UTC on Sunday, 29. Using Ready on the 80 to 10 meter bands where Qantas are permitted, the exchange is signal report and your CQ zone. Oceania DX Contest.
Folks, it's time once more to warm up your linears and tune up your antennas as next weekend marks the 79th running of the Oceania DX Phone Contest. The contest, which starts at 0600 hours UTC on October the 5th, is open to all amateurs who want to use the 160, 80, 40, 20, 15 and 10 meter bands. And it's a great opportunity to put Oceania on the world stage. There are many awards and trophies on offer, with something for everyone, be it QRP or QRO, whales or newcomers. To take part, first head over to the contest website, www.oceaniadxcontest.com, and have a read of the rules. Then, load up your favourite logging program, and away you go. For Australian participants in particular, there are numerous plaques to be won, as well as the special club competition trophy. Details of these are also available on the website. Not to be outdone, for the CW aficionados out there, the following weekend we'll see the CW leg of the contest run as well, with the same bands and categories, starting at 0600 on October the 12th. So, if you're a regular contester, or want to try contesting for the first time in an environment where the rest of the world's antennas are aimed at Oceania, why not give it a go? We'd love to see you on the air. 73s from the Oceania DX Contest Committee.
International Earth Moon Earth Contest. 0000 hours UTC on Saturday through 23:59 hours UTC Sunday. 2.3 GHz and up this weekend, September 21-22. 50 to 1296 MHz October 19 and 20 and November 16 and 17. Work as many amateur stations as possible via the Earth Moon Earth Path on any authorised amateur frequency in the bands for these specific weekends. EME logs due back to the ARRL December 17. Now let's open the DX window to the world. Arctic. Oleg, RD1A, is on board the Severny Polyus / North Pole and will be active when time permits as RI42SP. As the ship travels through various parts of the Arctic. The vessel departed Murmansk on September 15 with a team of scientists aboard and is heading towards the Novosibirsk Islands. This is where the drifting polar station will begin its work as part of the North Pole 42 expedition. For many months, polar explorers will conduct research in the high latitudes of the Arctic Ocean, encompassing over 50 scientific programs. Ham Station is primarily on CW and FT8 from October the 5th for approximately 1 year. QSL RD1A via Club Log OQRS. Somalia. Only last week we told of the group of operators to be active as 603T from northern Somalia. Now word comes it was cancelled. Why? Well, the team remained silent on this for a time, but have now released the note to say, given the very dangerous circumstances in which the entire team found ourselves, we decided to wait until we arrived in safe territory to send the information that everyone has been waiting for, and obviously to anticipate the return in agreement with the institutional contacts we had. The whole team is in good health, although mentally very stressed by the definitely traumatic experience that happened to us. Although all precautions have been implemented. When you travel the world, the unexpected is just around the corner. The team now is on its way to Europe. As soon as each operator has arrived home, it will be our pleasure, duty, to share with the whole ham radio community our terrible experience in a land where no one is in charge. But at the same time, everyone has a say. For BK1WIA National News, I'm Felix BK4FUQ in Ingham.
From here, there and everywhere, you've tuned to the Wireless Institute of Australia's National News Service. We are VK1WIA. Now, special interest group news with Cole, VK3GTV.
Hello, first up in Worldwide Special Interest Groups, it's astronomy and wireless weather. Astronomers have uncovered something pretty remarkable emerging from the depths of space after detecting a powerful series of radio waves. The signal, known as FRB-2022-0610A, is made up of dazzling radio wave flashes that last just milliseconds at a time. What makes them truly astonishing is that these radio waves have been travelling through space for a total of 8 billion years, and it could help experts to gain a better understanding of one of the great mysteries of the universe. These signals could theoretically help astronomers to put together a more comprehensive understanding of the universe. One of the people involved in the research is astronomer Dr. Stuart Ryder from Macquarie University in Australia. He said FRBs are common and hold great promise. They could be used to create a new map of the universe's structure and answer big questions about cosmology. The strength of the newly observed signal is truly staggering, with FRB-2022-0610A emitting the same amount of energy that our Sun produces in 30 years in the space of just a few milliseconds. Worldwide Special Interest Group's Final Frontier. GreenCube IO-117 ceases functioning due to radiation damage. The GreenCube satellite, developed by S5LAB, has likely ceased functioning due to radiation damage. After a successful mission that exceeded expectations, the satellite is no longer responding to commands, and its onboard radio is believed to have been compromised by the harsh radiation environment in medium Earth orbit, MEO. GreenCube experienced a reboot, and telemetry data from that event did not indicate any anomalies. However, the S5LAB team now suspects that the satellite's radio was damaged, leading to the current communication blackout. MEO is notoriously challenging for satellites due to its high radiation levels, and GreenCube was not the only satellite affected. Several other CubeSats launched alongside it only lasted a few days, making GreenCube's extended mission duration a remarkable achievement. Despite ongoing efforts to send commands and reactivate the satellite, the team remains pessimistic about restoring GreenCube's functionality. The satellite's survival in the hostile MEO environment is seen as a testament to its robust design, but the likelihood of recovery is slim. Worldwide Special Interest Groups, IOTA, Mafia Island AF-054. Vlad, operating as 5H1WX, said there's a big issue with regards to electricity and other power on Mafia Island. The problem is, while using a generator as power source, at idle it gives 250 volts at around 40 hertz, but when he transmits, with, say, 800 watts out, the voltage drops to 170 to 150 volts, and the frequency changes from 39 to 45 hertz. Using 100 watts on FT8 is okay, and approximately 300 watts on CW is also okay, but no more than that. Vlad added that unfortunately the whole island has a power supply problem. Sometimes it doesn't run all day. In total, 3 generators have been used, each one worse than the other. Reunion Island AF-016. Listen for TO2DX from Reunion Island, IOTA number AF-016, through until the 7th of October, using CW, RTTY and FT8 on 60 through to 10 metres. Listen for TO2DX as well in the CQ Worldwide RTTY DX contest on this weekend, the 28th and 29th of September, QSL to OM2DX. Worldwide Special Interest Groups, Rescue Radio. Amateur radio is responding to 2 different tropical events as of midweek. The National Hurricane Center reports that Hurricane John made landfall on Mexico's southern Pacific coast late Monday evening, about 80 miles east of Acapulco, as a Category 3 storm. Winds were reported up to 120 miles per hour. Life-threatening flash flooding is expected across portions of southern Mexico during the next few days. Meanwhile, hurricane and storm surge watches cover much of the Gulf Coast of Florida, as a system churning in the Caribbean was just designated as Tropical Storm Helene and is projected to strengthen into a major storm. Residents were asked to ensure that they had their hurricane plan in place and also follow the advice given by local officials. Florida declared a state of emergency for 41 counties along and near the state's Gulf Coast because of threats from the storm. If the storm makes landfall as a hurricane, it could be the fourth landfalling hurricane in mainland U.S. this year, joining Beryl, Debbie, and Francine. The hurricane watch net is on 20 meters, 14.325 megahertz upper side, and 40 meters on 7.268 megahertz lower side. Any change to the hurricane watch net plans will be on their website, hwn.org. Worldwide Special Interest Groups, VHF and above. In the USA, the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, has filed comments with the Federal Communications Commission, FCC, urging that their 902 to 928 MHz amateur radio band be protected. ARRL joins hundreds of licensed radio amateurs who utilize the band in opposing the proposal from NextNav Incorporated, a licensee in the 900 MHz location and monitoring service, LMS, to completely reconfigure the 902 to 928 MHz band and replace the LMS with high-powered 5G cellular and related location services. Also weighing in is Electronic Frontier Foundation, a non-profit group in the U.S. advocating for freedom in the use of technology. It has added its voice to the chorus, urging the FCC to keep the 900 MHz band accessible to amateur radio operators, industrial, scientific and medical devices, and unlicensed consumer electronics. And that's the latest Worldwide Special Interest Group news for this week. I'm Col, VK3GTV.
Across Australia, from VK1WIA, you're tuned to the WIA National News Service. In Melbourne, it can be heard on VK3RML, 146.7 MHz, at 10:30 a.m. and 8 p.m. I'm Peter, VK3YE.
2024, it's at 8, and clubs are welcome to email text with audio for this section. Details of all WIA-affiliated clubs and societies can be found on the WIA website, including email addresses and website links. VK4, the Gold Coast Hamfest, October 13, Narang Country Paradise Parklands. That's at 231 Beaudesert Narang Road, Narang. And for listeners of VK4's Q News, lots more detail coming up in the next edition in just a sec. VK5, Amateur Radio Experiments Group Radio and Electronics Sale, Saturday 26 October. That's at 10 a.m, David Roche Park, Kilbourne. And the Tassie Ham Conference.
The 2024 Tassie Hamicon Amateur Radio Conference happens on the first weekend of November. The theme of the conference is Innovations in Amateur Radio, and last week we heard about the three keynotes headlining the program. This week we hear about some of the other fascinating presenters on the weekend. We've got cybersecurity expert Marcus VK3TST taking us through the cybersecurity implications for our hobby. David VK5KK presenting and demonstrating the latest experimentation on the highest frequency available to advanced amateurs, that's 241 GHz. Paris VK7SYN will be taking us on an AI and machine learning journey, including some interesting demonstrations on how it can work for amateur radio operators. November 2nd and 3rd, 2024, in the Sir Stanley Burberry Theatre, UTAS. The full program is available at the link on the email edition of this broadcast, and with innovation at its core, this event is a must attend for all radio enthusiasts. Book now.
Thanks again, Justin. Now, VK3 Spark Rosebud Radio Fest, November 17, Eastbourne Primary School. That's at Rosebud. Now, till next we meet, I am Graham. I am VK4BB. Walk softly.
This has been the Wireless Institute of Australia with the weekly news service. This broadcast is in text, audio and video and is accessed on wia.org.au.